The Stats Zone, FPL Weekly.
Hello, welcome to thestatszone.com's FPL Weekly. With me today is Rob.
Hi guys.
Tristan.
Hello there.
And Tim.
Hi.
On the show today, we'll be taking an in-depth look at some of our captain's picks and also, as always, make some cases for some of our more risky differentials. But firstly, Tristan, we have some updated news on the latest double game week announcements.
Yeah, there's a couple of them are trickling out. So, game week 32, Wolves against United, Man United has been announced, which means that Wolves will have a double game week then of Burnley away and Man United at home. And Man United will have a double game week of Watford at home and Wolves away. I think this reinforces what we discussed in our last podcast regarding our chip strategy, or perhaps the best or optimal chip strategy, which is to free hit in game week 32. Because Man United and Wolves play twice in 32, do not play in either game week 31 or 33, that chip strategy makes things a little bit easier on that front. The second announcement is game week 35, Man United will play Man City, which means United will play Everton away, Man City at home, and Man City will play Spurs at home and Man United away, which doesn't look too easy on paper, but my impression of that is that City will be less likely to rotate two big games, whereas if they played perhaps a so-called easier opponent, they may bring more of the fringe players in. So the likes of Aguero, Sterling, you may see play twice. Obviously, this is quite far ahead into the future, so we're getting ahead of ourselves a bit there.
It's so difficult, isn't it? Because you've no idea about injuries. I mean,
yeah.
United had about 13 injuries in that first half against Liverpool the other day. And City, too, picked up a couple of injuries, particularly Fernandinho, which is a bit of a concern for them.
Laporte as well, quite a popular fantasy choice.
Yeah. The only thing that springs to my mind here, specifically for game week 35, is the Champions League. I don't think that will affect United at that point because I suspect they'll be gone. But it comes sandwiched. Those two games come sandwiched between quarterfinal second leg and the semi-final first legs. So pretty sure City will be there, which is and probably going to have a fairly big game as well. So I would assume that they're going to have. You never know if they'll get to the semis, but they're going to have then a run of three or four really big games in a very short space of time. So he's going to have to rotate to some degree. But let's see. Yeah. It so much depends on injuries.
Well, I think that what hasn't yet been announced is perhaps more exciting. So Ben Crellin seems to think that if Man City beat Swansea in the FA Cup quarterfinals, there's a very good chance that City will have a double game week in game week 32, which is obviously much sooner, of Fulham away and Cardiff at home, which is possibly the best double game week I can ever remember in terms of potential points.
That's a big shout.
Well, in terms of fixtures anyway, and the teams involved. So Fulham away, Cardiff at home, probably two of the easier fixtures you'd have in the Premier League. You maybe pick Huddersfield over them, but that's looking very tempting.
Well, this contradicts what I've just said, but actually, those are the games where it's probably more likely to rotate than the
Bengals. Yeah, now there's always that risk with Pep. So that's why I made the original point about the 35 double, is that you might be able to predict the City lineup a bit more with those. But
I think a lot of your talk about rotation brings us back to, you can really overthink these. You can get bogged down in who's going to be rotated in. I need everyone in for double game weeks, where in actuality, just get the best players out for the best fixtures that are going on and hope the double, you know, a rotation doesn't come in. If it does, it's not going to matter too much if you've not overthought it.
Now, that double game week I just mentioned in 32, the potential double game week, looks like an excellent candidate for a triple captain chip, which we still have in our site team. But if we're going to use our free hit in that game week, then we can't use a triple captain. Mm-hmm. So a couple of things to consider there. And the only other thing, what you just said, you can't get bogged down. We're not going to find out any more news on the blanks and doubles until mid-March. So
the FA Cup weekend.
Yeah, so you can't plan too much ahead for these.
No, you've got to make your plan now and then stick with it, regardless of really what happens in the doubles. I think if you've got a plan now, go with it. And
it's not as straightforward as the games that were originally scheduled for game week 31 go to 32, because United City was originally in 31. Mm. It's been rescheduled for 35. So it's difficult really to plan completely around these, where we don't know when it's going to be announced. There's a lot of factors involved: TV scheduling, things like that. So this brings me on to our next point, which is about using the wildcard early, which is what we did for our site team quite successfully this game week.
Rob's been calling for it since about game week 12.
Yeah, now I use my wildcard for my own team far too early. Now, I wouldn't recommend that because I could do a wildcard and again right now, but...
Forgot the deadline,
did you? I did forget the deadline. Had an absolute shocker. Me and Kepa are the two that had shockers this weekend. But yeah, it's now is the time, I think, or was the time, certainly, for... You know, it depends on your team, but we were missing, like, five or six players.
Yeah.
I think we were quite fortunate in that aspect, where we were missing a lot, so we got forced into using our wild card.
The decision for
given everything got... Yeah. Well, a lot of players got rested this weekend, and there were a lot of blanks from the major players. You know, Son, Aubameyang didn't start, came on for 21 minutes. We were very lucky that we managed to put out a decent team.
Yeah.
Nice green arrow.
Yeah, 55 points we got, which pushes us into the top 100k for the first time in a long while, which I'm quite impressed about in our debut season together. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's it. Just goes to show if you wildcard early, forget about what's going on later on. It can work at least in the short term. It remains to be seen how this might affect later on. But if we're going to free hit in 32, that's fine. It's more about the we originally planned a wildcard potentially in game week 34. In anticipation of the 35 double, but by then we could have lost a lot of points that we're going to gain now. So,
and I guess we did lose a few points because, you know, Tim did say this morning that he muttered throwing Delafeu into the team.
I've listened back to the podcast and there's no mention
there
of that.
Definitely,
it was said off air.
Oh, okay, yeah,
your mic wasn't working.
A lot of your ideas are said off air, aren't they, Tim? But yeah, I mean, we got lucky with Alexander Arnold playing, Diop coming on for his 8 points. But yeah, onwards and upwards for Team TSZ.
Okay, so we'll talk about our captain choices for the midweek fixtures, game week 28. Who would like to put their hat in the ring?
Well, I'll jump in over you there,
right,
Tristan.
Go on in.
Right. I could see you're itching.
I was itching, but it can't always be me.
It can't. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think you can look any further than Sergio Aguero. You know, top FPL forward in the game.
You can't look any further than Aguero.
I don't think you can. I really don't. You know, he's on form. Of the big hitters we're about to talk about, he's the one that is on form. He's got a hat trick in his last two home games. Did you have him then, Tristan?
Moving on, come on. More points, please. So,
a hat trick in his last two home games. They're playing West Ham this week. Saw this stat written on Twitter. He's averaging a goal this season every 99 minutes, which is impressive in itself. But if you take that down to home games, he's scoring every 53 minutes on the pitch.
Wow.
And it's an incredible record. So,
wow, indeed.
Wow.
Especially Gabriel Jesus out as well. I mean, who knows when he'll come back. He'll probably just crop up at some point when we're not expecting it. You know, but otherwise it's...
He was on the bench in the League Cup final, so you'd like to think he'd be out for at least... You know, there is the fear of rotation with Pep always and with Aguero, but as he's only fit forward, I think he's going to start midweek. He'll start again at the weekend. Might not complete 90 minutes, but he's doing the business inside 60 anyway.
Just played 120 minutes. That's my concern with Aguero.
But then the only other one that he would play would probably be Sterling, straight through the middle. And he played it as well, so...
He did, but he came off before that, so Chelsea last weekend, he came off after 78 minutes. After 64 minutes even, it was Schalke midweek where he came off after 78 minutes. So he is getting the occasional rest here and there. And I don't think he'll complete 90 minutes midweek. Maybe come off after 65, 70, but...
Well, if he comes after 53, he would have scored, wouldn't he? Because that's the average.
Very true. That's how it works out.
Yeah.
I mean, earlier in the season, he was... scoring around that time, it seemed like every game, didn't he? And then Pep would bring him off.
Yeah, that's an early goal, doesn't he, Aguero?
He just likes a goal.
Yeah, okay.
That's a goal and lots of them, especially when I don't own him in my team.
And it's a favourable fixture, isn't it?
Well, go on then, Tristan. You seem to think that Aguero is not the only hit, so.
Well, I think you make a compelling case, but I say to you can't look any further is a bit much because there are some other good options.
Okay, give us your captain's pick, an informed captain's pick.
Surprisingly, I'm going for Mo Salah.
The Liverpool fan again.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Now,
clubs do exist, Tristan.
There are a couple of negatives, but there are a lot of positives with Salah. If you look historically, anyway. Now, he's still the highest FPL point scorer, 19 points ahead of his nearest competitor, which is Sterling. Watford, so that's who he's playing, playing Watford at home. Watford have conceded in 8 of the last 10 away matches in the Premier League. Salah did score in the reverse fixture in game week 13, Now, if you're talking about previous games against Watford, he scored in all three matches against them, most notably last season at home in this very fixture where he scored four goals.
I triple captained him that week.
I seem to remember that. Wow. Wasn't it a blank game week as well when he was one of the only players playing and he...
I remember scored. I captained him, but you triple captained him, Adam, didn't you?
It was the only good thing I've done in FPL ever.
Right. Well, it's not a bad thing to get right.
Yeah.
Four goals and an assist, which is one of the highest hauls of any player in a fantasy game. So... Those are the positives there. I think that's quite compelling. He's got a good record against them. I don't know how much you read into this kind of versus player versus club stats. Some players seem to have good records, but I do sometimes think that's a bit of a coincidence.
There's definitely coincidences, but obviously the longer something goes on, the more that psychologically the player comes into the game in a good frame of mind and so on.
Yeah, I mean, this is only a sample of three matches, but six goals in those three matches.
Well, if we're looking at a sample of three matches, you'd probably say his last three or four games have been quite poor.
All right, well, do you want to lead with the negatives then, Rob? Because I can tell you where you want to get in there.
To be honest, it's just Liverpool are stuttering. Going forward as well, which you never thought it'd really say. But like the front three aren't playing well right now. Obviously, Firmino's crocked a little bit. Mane's not looking great. He's also snatching at his chances. Salah just doesn't seem to particularly convinced. Now, I do think if they can get Alexander-Arnold back, that will help massively, because there were so many times where Salah had the ball out wide and it was just him. He was just looking to play a ball inside and that was it. There was nobody overlapping and so on.
His record against teams outside the top six as well is exceptional.
Yeah,
it's true.
It is. I take your point. He's looked a little off lately. And in terms of the front three, we were better last season, even though we're going for the title. We're far more fluent going forward last season.
There's no pressure last season, was there?
True. This season, it's mainly about the defensive improvements in terms of where Liverpool are. But yeah, going forward. But Salah, he's not quite as explosive as he was last season. But he's still the top scorer. Watford at home, you'd expect. Liverpool got the draw against United. Need to win these next two games for sure to make that draw, a decent result. You've got to get 7 points out of those three. So, yeah, I think I'm possibly captaining him myself. I put a lot of trust in him, and most of the time this season he's rewarded me. So, yeah,
it is one on paper. You think they have to, but Watford have a bit of form behind them as well, don't they? It's going to be
it's going to be
an interesting game. I mean, listen, you're right. This is the game that they have to win. They've got the Goodison on Sunday. We're going to frustrate you on Sunday afternoon. Filthy 0-0 draw.
Mane last minute or Origi. That's happened a couple of times.
Speaking of players Origi against clubs, Origi's got 100% record against Everton.
Get Origi in your team this weekend.
They heard it here first, Origi. Anyway, who else have we got?
Well, if we're all going to just say basically the only player we've been plugging all year, I might as well take Pogba. There's barely anyone left to play for United in the front two ranks of forwards and midfielders, so it would basically just be Pogba and McTominay, and I'm not sure who. Maybe Lukaku might be around for a bit. So
he can't cross to himself.
No, but I think he'll.
I think he could right now.
Well, yeah, quite.
He's playing that well.
He'll take on the responsibility. In the last 9 games, all under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, obviously, he scored 125 of his 146 points. And actually, 9 games ago, when I said we should get him into Team TSZ, so that's 125.
Didn't know
points.
That. Did you mention it back then?
I've not mentioned it out loud in the last few days, but I have mentioned it most of the times I've spoken.
Ever.
Yeah. Best season of his career, 14 goals and 10 assists. I'll get again nearly all of those in the last 9 games. Mm-hmm. 11 and 9 in the Premier League. Basically, through lack of necessity, he's going to have to play the whole 90 minutes.
You do wonder how all those players that are missing, we're not sure whether even Martial's going to be back. He could possibly be rested for the midweek fixture in the Champions League. Doesn't want to rush him back early after rushing Lingard back and him getting injured. How effective are they going to be going forward? He's got to rely on what, Sanchez or Lukaku to step up. I mean, neither one has hit any sort of the form that you would expect from those two players this season.
Yeah, and I'd agree with you in terms of not picking Pogba as captain for that. But I think, one, not many people will pick him for that reason. So he's kind of a differential captain compared to others.
Well, I think I'm tempted with Pogba as well. But Palace, they're looking good at the moment.
They are playing okay.
Especially going forward, so that's not necessarily going to affect Pogba's attacking returns, but
it's just who do you trust. I mean, we've had three now, and I'm sure Rob will give us a fourth in a minute. Who do you trust more out of Pogba, Salah and Aguero to score more points this week.
It's not great. It's not, the fixture's okay. It's not brilliant. I just think that given the United success, Pogba's success has been built on having Herrera and Matic playing out of their skins recently. They've played as well as he has, and allowed him to do what he does. Neither will play. So that's going to be a challenge.
It might be McTominay and Pereira.
Maybe Fred as well.
Oh yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah, so
a forgotten man.
Yeah,
I think most United fans had as well,
including Ollie. Yeah, I'm a bit torn on Pogba. The one that I really like this midweek is Aubameyang. I've just got a fit. You know, he was given a bit of a break, largely because he played in the Europa League when Lacazette was suspended. They're playing Bournemouth. I mean, Bournemouth are horrific right now away from home. And his form's reasonable. I wouldn't say it's brilliant. I mean, although there's, you know, none of the kind of leading scorers in the Premier are absolutely flying at Bar Aguero right now. He's got 9 of his 15 league goals have come at home, and it's 12 of his 18. If you include cups, they've all come at home as well. So I like that fact. I do think he'll start. I think the fact he will be likely to miss out, I think, means that he probably will come in a wide area.
It's interesting you pick up Bamia. He's stung a lot of owners or captainers this game we've just gone by coming on in like the 73rd minute. Yeah. For a one pointer, he was one of the most popular captain picks.
I thought it was just pretty obvious that Lacazette would definitely start, and just given that the run of games, like, he's going to come back in. We know he's going to come back in here. Bournemouth are terrible. I mean, they've lost the last 8 away games in the league.
I hope no Bournemouth fans are listening.
You've got a real problem with Bournemouth. Last week, this was all you were saying. Bournemouth are all.
And I've written Bournemouth off so much in the last few years, and credit to them. Like, but right now, you know, it's not just that. I mean, the shipping goals in, but on the travels, but it's mainly they've got injuries as well. Steve Cook's the latest to be out. Francis is out long term. Mepham's going to start alongside Nathan Ake. And Lerma's suspended as well, which means they can't even go with like the kind of three in midfield just to pack the midfield. So I think it's going to be a lot of
factors combining to say that Aubameyang, which obviously our algorithm is aware of because he is our in terms of our projections, our top scoring forward this weekend, or projected to be the top scoring forward with just over 7 points. So
who's top projection this midweek?
Aguero in terms of forwards top projection.
Okay.
Just over 7. Aubameyang second top with 7.3 to Aguero 7.5. So if you're going off
toss
off
of a coin
our projection algorithm, yeah, pretty much you're not going to go wrong with either one of them.
Okay. Now we've got another forward who's projected to do fairly well. We're calling him our differential option this week, aren't we? Even though he's so well owned, he's very rarely, I see him captained anyway amongst the top teams, and that's Raul Jimenez. Why wouldn't you captain this guy? He's unbelievably consistent. He seems to be the main goal scorer for Wolves, has been all season. Very reliable point scorer. I guess it's because, A, psychologically, because he's cheaper than the other players. You always tend to captain one of the with a higher price. And B, perhaps doesn't get the huge hauls that you might get with an Aguero or a Salah.
I think that's one of the reasons why... Well, he's not in my team because I've got 3 Wolves defenders. But... You know, we mentioned this about Rashford a couple of weeks ago as well, that very rarely does he score multiple goals within a game, and that would put me off captaining him. But I mean, his consistency is unbelievable.
He's always involved. He's got 10 goals and 7 assists. He's always at least part of it.
Well, he's just, whenever there's goals, he's around it if he's not scoring or assisting. But he's 4 goals in his last 4 games, so he's on fire. He doesn't seem to drop off in form. Like, you expect a player like that, of that sort of budget, to be kind of maybe a bit streaky, but he's just been solid all season with those goals. So I think he's a decent option.
And what I like about him is, like, he's one that seems kind of, I mean, Nuno Espirito Santo doesn't, he rotates a little bit, not too much, but he seems one that's just a permanent fixture within the team. When he doesn't play, they don't have a like-for-like replacement for him, so it's unlikely he's going to get randomly rested, although...
Yeah, and perhaps the key point here as well, Wolves are playing Huddersfield. So That alone
True.
Makes him a viable candidate. I mean, it's away, but Huddersfield, you know, there's no end in sight.
Well, they've conceded 28 goals in their 13 away games this season, so they're averaging over two goals conceded a game. You'd think Wolves will put a couple past them. Although they do have a tendency, Wolves, to play down to the level of their opposition this year. So who knows with how they could get on. But Jimenez as a differential, I don't think you'd catch him over one of the other four if you had him. But if you're trying to catch up, Rob, then it might be a good idea.
I'd say if you've had a few horrible captain blanks lately, like Aubameyang and other players, where you're just getting the wrong premium asset, you might be a good one just to get, I just want a six-pointer or something, you know. I want some captain points. So I put him in that bracket.
It'd have been a great one actually this week as well, with the talk of, you know, Son not scoring, Aubameyang not scoring, Pogba, Rashford, Salah all blanking.
Yep.
Jimenez with the 7 points this game week would have been a nice haul.
Yeah, it's true. One that we haven't mentioned is just come back from injury and just throwing it out there.
Here it is,
Harry Kane.
Okay, that's not a bad shout. Yeah.
No, but you know, there's not,
somehow he's not been mentioned at all today, and I'm not sure how.
And okay, I mean, certainly the fixture's not, you know, at Chelsea.
He's got a very good record against London clubs, hasn't he?
He does. I mean, he scored on his return.
Played 90 minutes as well on his return.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's impressive.
I would guess Willy Caballero might start in goal for Chelsea as well. But yeah, it's one to look out for. Spurs have to bounce back.
Yeah, it's a perfect game for them to bounce back on as well, isn't it? So, as you say, Adam, great record in London derbies. He's a tricky one because Spurs don't play in the blank 31, so are you going to bring him in? Like, look, most people won't own him at this point after his injury.
Mm.
For me, he's one I'm probably going to keep an eye on. I can't afford to get him back in, even if I wanted to at this point. But particularly for when the doubles start coming and the second wildcard's being played, if he's in any sort of form, he could really be that push over the line you need in the last few game weeks.
I think he could be one that will hurt a lot of people that don't get him on the basis of planning for the blanks and doubles. Whereas if you had more of a short-term approach, you could reap the benefits. So.
Right, so that's six captains for your... for the price of four. Time now to go to the Differentials League, which, if you are a new listener, is each week we pick a player who's owned by 5% or less players in the FPL and make a case for why they might be a good differential choice for you this week. I'm terrible at it.
Why are you terrible at it? What are the stats, Adam?
Well, I normally at this point pass over to you to be at the leaderboard, Tristan. You look like you really want to this week. So with the scores...
I don't have much to shout about. I picked Alexis Sanchez last game week and got 1 point.
You were lucky you even got on.
Yeah, I got an appearance. What was I thinking? I'm going to start taking this game seriously now, honestly. I'm giving you guys a chance, apparently. I mean, Alexis Sanchez, what was I thinking? Moving on for him, I'm going to pick others. But just a quick recap. Tim, you had the best game week 27 choice.
Again.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising, is it?
Antonio.
Great choice.
Okay. Best return and best dance as well. I don't know if you saw his
goal
celebration. That
was incredible watching him, Carragher and Neville try and move. Yeah.
Jammy little last minute goal there, yeah. Robbie went for Yedlin, clean sheet, pretty safe. I remember giving you a bit of flack for that, but... You know.
He got booked again, which just nudged him down, but home to Huddersfield, or anywhere to Huddersfield, you've got a fair chance for clean sheet. So yeah, I'm happy with 5 points. Keeps my overall lead intact.
Yeah, and you are leading overall. And Sanchez, I went with, as we know, that was a bit of a failure. Adam, you went for Llorente.
Uh-huh.
Who?
Yeah, did he play? I'm just checking now to see. He played 28 minutes.
He got booked.
He got booked, so he got 0 points.
So you had two players in a row
who played.
Who both played but got 0 points.
Yeah,
that is impressive.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't think you could pick that again if you try.
Oh, well, we'll try. Go on then.
Well, let's start with your first game.
Well, yeah. Seeing as I've lost again, I'll start. I didn't really want to pick a player I'd already picked, but I think given recent sackings of Claude Puel, it has to be Jamie Vardy.
He's the only one who scored you any points so far
just,
in this game.
He just played well.
Going back to
he got you a mammoth 2 points in game week 24.
Points. That's a full 80 minutes of play. He's got a good record of being unshackled and proving something. He's older now than he was when Ranieri was sacked and when Shakespeare was sacked, but... Leicester themselves went on a run of 5 wins in a row after sacking Ranieri. Vardy scored twice on the game exactly after Ranieri was sacked. It was against Liverpool, I remember it well. He also scored in the first game he played in because he was injured at the time. The first game he played after sacking of Shakespeare, he scored in that as well. He's the kind of player I think that likes a reaction. He's a fan's favourite. So I think it's a home tie, isn't it? Home tie against Brighton. Brighton are awful away. We'll get to that in a second. But a home tie after sacking possibly the most boring man in the world. I mean, it inspires something. He's getting very angry the last few weeks. I think Leicester will have a joint reaction as a team. I think any Leicester player this week would be quite good to get in again.
Yeah, you've been saying Puyol's going to be sacked as well since, I think, November or something. You and Rob had a very interesting chat about who's going to take over.
Who did I say was going to come in?
Well, Rob said that it would never be David Wagner.
Yeah.
And
you did shout.
We'll
see how that plays out.
I do have it on record.
My mother-in-law shouted Sam Allardyce, and I'm going to say it will never be Sam Allardyce as well. What typically happens in these scenarios is the board go in a different direction and they'll go for somebody who plays attractive football. Like, I suspect that's why Brendan Rodgers has been linked. But that's the route I think will happen. I also think that the two guys in charge, not all of the team have left. His assistant has left with him. Mike Stoll's going to be in charge along with Adam Sadler, and I suspect they will go on a more kind of, they've got nothing to lose. It does no harm for him to pick a more attacking team for this, and I think it'll work well for Vardy.
Shackles off.
Back to basics.
Let's hope to get at least an appearance point for
you. I would love to score more than 2 points. Even an assist, I'd be happy with.
Okay. Rob, do you want to go next? The current leader.
I had Yedlin last time out. First time I picked a defender. I don't love necessarily defenders in midweek matches. I feel like very often they can be a bit more open. So I'm going on the offence. I'm going for Nathan Redmond.
Fresh on that chance he spurned last week.
He missed a sitter against Arsenal. He doesn't have loads. He's got 3 goals, 2 assists in the league, but he does have 3 FA Cup goals as well. I'm going on the fixture again here, as I did with Yedlin against Huddersfield, and I'm picking Redmond against Fulham. At home, Southampton, pretty desperate as well. They have had a bit of a turnaround under Hasenhüttl, but they do need to pick up points. They did drop in the bottom three after losing to Cardiff last week. Lost to Arsenal. This is a massive game for them, so I'm expecting to see a reaction. I like the fact that Redmond is pretty much playing up top now, and he's definitely improved in this last couple of months. So, yeah, he's my choice.
He has played up top before, hasn't he? I remember the start of last season, he was put up top. I had him in my team, and he'd started off well and then just completely tailed off. But
he's one of those that fast as deceive, I feel, Redmond. He always looks good. You know, he's always got a trick, fast, good on the ball, but when it comes to end product, he seems to be lacking as the 3 goals.
I don't love it. From a finishing perspective, he's not a natural finisher. But he is at least getting in the right areas and having chances, which I do like.
Fulham at home is just an ideal fixture to for any player, really, isn't it? Right, well, I'll go with mine then. It's a player I discussed last week in our new signings discussion, and that's Newcastle's Almiron. Faces Burnley at home. Obviously, Burnley have looked a bit more solid lately. But away from home, they've only got 1 clean sheet from their last 7 in the Premier League. Now, Almiron, I don't know if you saw the highlights, but he looked very good against Huddersfield again. I'm very unlucky not to score. The Newcastle fans have really taken to him. I think that's a big thing there.
They've been begging out for Flair up there.
Yeah. They've really, and he looks like he started with confidence as well. So, there's a bit of concern about how he'd translate. He's not played in the MLS for a while. The MLS finished a while ago, so perhaps lacking match fitness. But he looks bang up to the job for me. Seems to be linking up well with Rondon, who's also in form.
Yeah, well, I feared that he played a Jose Perez still, and I feared that he'd put another defensive midfielder in there or less attacking one. But he kept Jose Perez in, and I think that's important because you can't just go with 2 players like creatively.
It'll be interesting to see if he continues that way. I mean, it's easy to do that against Huddersfield. They've only lowest scorers in the league this week with them playing Burnley. I suppose another team that doesn't really attack too much. He could go again. I can't see him playing against the bigger teams. I mean, that doesn't matter for this week.
You mean them two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if one of them made where I think it'd be a Jose Perez. He's the record transfer. He will play, I think, now. The good one.
The fans would be up in arms if they didn't play him right now. Yeah, 0.6% owned. ultra differential, if anything.
Who have you got, Ted?
So when I was looking at this, I had flicked through the different teams, and I was quite surprised to see the amount of City assets that are owned at 5% and less. So De Bruyne is only owned by 4% of players. David Silva is only owned by 4.1%. Now with Fernandinho's injury, Gundogan's owned by 2.1%. So I think, given City's form, any one of those would be a good differential going forward. But I've pumped for David Silva for my differential this week. 6 goals and 4 assists this season. He didn't play 120 minutes in the League Cup. He came off just before the end of the 90. So I think he'll start this weekend. He loves playing West Ham. He scored more goals against West Ham than any other club. So right. He's got 6 in his 14 appearances and bagged last season when they were playing at home.
Random stat of the day.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like it.
Stat of the day.
So and City themselves, you know, Pep, he's won all 6 meetings against West Ham. They've scored 22 in that time, only conceded 3. And they've scored 4 against them each of the last 2 league games. So I can really see City putting them to the sword. And David Silva's going to play. And to be honest, not even just being a differential for this week, but moving forward, I think he might be an interesting shout for people to get in if they're looking to make up ground.
So in the double, you might consider him instead of...
Definitely, he's a bit cheaper. I mean, Bernardo's his boy this season. But
he loves him, absolutely loves Bernardo Silva, doesn't he?
And will play more advanced as well, won't he? If Sané or Sterling don't play, so...
He's a good player, David Silva. Everyone knows he's a good player, David Silva. And I think in this criteria, he's an excellent little differential.
Yeah, he's not been quite as prolific in terms of FPL returns this season. It looks like he might be tailing off a little bit. Obviously, still a quality player.
Yeah, I mean, last season he had all the personal issues that were going around with his family.
Yeah.
And Pep's been very, very good with all of that. I just think he's coming to the crunch time of the year. His best centre midfielder, well, arguably his best centre midfielder and creative player is David Silva. He's going to be playing him more and more with needing those points on the board. And he tends to deliver in the big spots. He's been there since the beginning of the revolution at City. And
yeah.
I really think he's one to watch over the next 10 game weeks.
You mentioned De Bruyne there. I've been quite disappointed with him lately. He seems to be a bit off the boil, even with his passing, which is his
He hasn't forte. Quite just clicked back into gear, has he?
No.
The reason I would just to put in, the reason why I would agree with you for picking City players over the next 10 weeks, especially David Silva, is that this week the ex-manager syndrome might come into it a bit with Manuel Pellegrini coming back to City.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be an interesting one to see how they set up. I mean, he had a great record there, Pellegrini, at City. Arguably, at the moment, a better record than Guardiola's got. I mean, there's some stat out where unless Guardiola reaches the Champions League semi-final, and if they don't win any more trophies this season, then Pellegrini had a better record in his opening 3 seasons than Guardiola has.
In terms of trophies?
In terms of just trophies and how far they've got in the major comps.
Okay.
Well, maybe. I really think City are just in a groove. They're going to put a number of goals past West Ham. And without being able to pick Sterling, Aguero in this differential, I think David Silva makes a good shout. I actually think Mahrez makes a good shout this week as well, considering he didn't get off the bench midweek and Pep's been saying he wants to play him. It's not his fault he's on the bench and he only can't give him minutes because of how well Sterling and Bernardo Silva have been playing. This is a great opportunity for him to come in.
All right, so you picked about 6 City players there, I think.
I seem to pick City players every week.
Anybody from Manchester City is what's
So you've known in David Silva, you've gone Almiron.
Yeah.
Rob, you've gone...
Nathan Redmond.
I've gone off Jamie Vardy.
So our algorithm thinks that Mkhitaryan will be the best differential
fresh
option.
Fresh off a goal and an assist in midweek.
Another very frustrating fantasy player because I had him earlier on the season.
I think the fear with him is that he gets rotated out, but with the potential injury to Iwobi and with his goal and assist last time, he could start.
He's home to Bournemouth, so as Rob mentioned earlier...
Bournemouth the worst team in the Premier League.
Worst team of all time. So Mkhitaryan is what the robot thinks, so let's see how we fare against... against that. So I suppose I should plug the articles that have not yet been written but will be written. So we'll have our captain's piece from Colm sometime today. Let's see if he mirrors what our choices were. We'll then have the predicted lineups article tomorrow for the midweek set of fixtures, and then ahead of game week 29 we'll have those same 2 articles in addition to a fixtures outlook and a Tim, you might be penning a projections piece.
Potentially,
yeah. So watch the space for that. And obviously, this podcast will feature on all of those articles, which if you're listening to it, you don't need me to tell you that.
And thanks very much to everyone who's listened so far. We really appreciate your
listening-ship.
I can say listenership, then I can say ears.
You say the time they've given up. To talk absolute nonsense.
I mean, if you're still here now, fair play.
Brought to you by the Stat Zone.
Well, thank you very much, everyone here in the studio.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We will see you for Game Week 30 next week. Thank you very much.